Israel, Amim Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our dramatization is Morton Wishengrad's The Passover of Rembrandt Van Rijn, featuring Leon Janney as Rembrandt. This program marks The Eternal Light's 500th broadcast. Following the dramatized portion of our program, there will be remarks by Judge Edgar J. Nathan and Mr. Davidson Taylor. And now, The Passover of Rembrandt Van Rijn. It was in the year 1659 that Mynheer Jacob van Kampen was delegated by the Venerable Council of the City of Amsterdam to propose a new commission to the painter Rembrandt van Rijn. Bearing in mind that Rembrandt was a consummate painter, Mynheer van Kampen had the forethought to put on his best suit of clothes. Remembering also that Rembrandt was said to be a notorious wastrel, Mynheer van Kampen selected a stout walking stick. And recollecting finally that through a rare combination of thriftlessness and bad investments, the painter had only recently been declared a bankrupt by the Insolvency Chamber of Amsterdam, Mynheer van Kampen thoughtfully left his wallet at home. Thus equipped, Mynheer van Kampen journeyed to the Keizersgruen hostelry, where he found the painter in his bath.
Yeah, hot water. The poor man's pleasure.
My dear Rembrandt, I have something important to discuss with you. Please have the decency to climb out of that tub.
Mynheer van Kampen, it was for the sake of decency that I climbed into the tub. Make yourself useful. Take the brush and scrub my back.
I beg your pardon?
Why, you do something? There's the brush.
Oh, excuse me. I came to discuss a serious matter, a proposition.
Then scrub between my shoulder blades. I'll be putty in your hands. You'll be able to do anything you want with me. Come, 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 scrub.
This is ridiculous.
Scrub. Mynheer van Kampen, you flatter me. My skin is somewhat tougher than a butterfly's eyelash. Be good enough to scrub a little harder. Van Kampen, I'm not an elephant. Just right. A bit to the left. A little lower. A little more. Ah. My dear van Kampen, I have a painter's eye. Have I ever told you that you are a fine figure of a man?
Why, that's...
Oh, but don't stop scrubbing. Now, you were saying something about the proposition.
The city council would like a painting for the new town hall.
You've scrubbed enough, thank you. Van Kampen, I always like to have a clear head when important matters are discussed. What's the proposition?
Firstly, that this time you finish your painting on the date we specify.
Do they want it good or do they want it on Tuesday? A painting is finished when a painting is finished, and I'll say so. What next?
We will select the subject.
You will, eh? And Kampen, do I tell you how to buy and sell real estate?
No, Rembrandt, but...
I'll paint a subject I consider suitable. Oh, I rather fancy something from the Bible.
We thought a large painting of the town council itself would be...
Fantastic. What do you think of Moses bringing down the tablets of the law from the mountain?
Well, I have no opinion on Moses. What we had in mind...
Good,
was...
then we're agreed on the subject. How much?
100 guilders.
Get out.
200 guilders.
You paid 9 million for the town hall. I want 1,000 guilders.
Oh, my dear Rembrandt, for an artist, I must say you're quite mercenary.
My dear Evan Compton, if you turn a bit toward me, I can spit directly into your left eye. What do you mean, mercenary? Is an artist less than a stonemason or a carpenter? When my belly is empty, I'm just as hungry as you are. 500 guilders are not a stiver less.
350.
Settled. Now I've got to find the Moses to sit for me.
Rembrandt.
Don't interrupt. I'm thinking.
I'll be glad to pose for you.
You?
Well, you just said that I was a fine figure of a man.
And Campan, you have the good-natured, wholesome, earnest face of a vegetable dinner. Now be a friendly vegetable and give me the towel, eh? I've got to find a Moses.
Where are you going to look?
Among the descendants of Moses.
Don't you think it would be more discreet to look among the members of the town council?
But Campan, come here.
Yes?
I will tell you a secret.
You will, Rembrandt?
Listen. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. Jews, every last one of them.
I see what you mean.
I thought you would. Quickly, Van Kampen, my shoes. I've got to find Moses.
In the year 1659, Rembrandt van Rijn went into the streets of Amsterdam in quest of Moses. While the venerable town council waited, Rembrandt searched. Early in the month of April, they deputized Mynheer Jacob van Kampen to visit the painter once again.
I am authorized to inform you that the painter Ferdinand Ball has been invited to submit a sketch.
I've found three Jewish scholars, but they're not satisfactory. I've paid two visits to Rabbi Manasseh ben Israel. Too small for Moses. I've talked to several students, not heroic enough. Is a peddler from Poland too pale? My dear Van Kampen, I can't lose that commission. I need the money.
Then you'll produce your sketches this week, and you will complete your painting in 10 days.
You're a good fellow, Van Kampen.
10 days, Rembrandt.
I don't paint that way. I've got to find a Moses who looks like Moses. I've got to paint what I feel is true.
You are shouting.
All right. Go back to them and tell them I'll do the best I can.
I shall tell them the painting will be done in 10 days.
Van Kampen, listen. I've been reading the Bible. Moses stood upon the mountain and he talked to God himself. And when Moses came down from the mount, the people ran to him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face sent forth beams of light, and they were afraid to come near unto him. Van Kampen, that's what I want. Moses holding up a tablet of the law and a light shining from his face. And me almost afraid to paint and you almost afraid to look. Van Kampen, you understand, don't you?
I shall tell them the painting will be done in 10 days.
In the first week of April, Rembrandt van Rijn went into a slum of Amsterdam. On the edge of a canal that carried its cargo of refuse and garbage odorously to the sea, there stood the stall of a bread seller. Within the stall sat a man, white bearded with white hair crowned by a black skull cap. Before him were piled the enormous loaves of black bread baked after the fashion of Eastern Europe. The bread seller sat there, motionless, impassive, serene.
You sell bread?
I sell bread.
By the pound and by the loaf?
Yes.
I have been standing here for quite some time.
I know.
You do not have many customers.
No, I do not have many customers.
And so it gives you time to read.
If you are finished staring at me, and if you have no more questions, I should like to continue reading.
Please forgive me, but what are you reading?
Very well. I will read it to you. Kablu alechem malchus shomayim v'yis nahagu zeim ze bigmilas chasodim.
What does it mean?
To love God truly, one must first love man.
What is your name?
I am Abram of Lublin. They call me Abram Lublina.
I am a painter. My name is Rembrandt. They say we came from a place near the Rhine, and so they call me Rembrandt van Rijn. Abram of Lublin, Your face is the face of one who wrote 10 words upon 2 tablets of stone. I shall be greatly honored if you will allow me to paint your face.
I have no objections, but first let me give you a piece of bread. It is good bread, Rembrandt.
A pencil is quick. It abstracts from a face that which is hidden in a face, the thing that inspirits the face. Not merely cheekbones that are wide, or a forehead that is high, or the curve of a nose, or the curl of a lip, or the expression of an eye. All these things together, but more. The total of these things, the sum, the essence, the distillation of spirit. A pencil is quick, but a brush goes more slowly. For the brush illuminates because it remembers the dark places. On the 10th day of April in the year 1659, Meiner Jakob von Kampen returned to the Kaiserskroon hostelry.
Is this your Moses?
Not yet.
Well, the paint is dry upon the canvas.
Meiner von Kampen, a painting isn't finished when the paint is dry.
Well, it looks good enough to me.
I am not satisfied.
Rembrandt, I'm not an artist, but I know what I like.
Von Kampen, this isn't a hen's egg that you're judging for taste. I painted Abram of Lublin. That's not good enough. I want Moses of Sinai and the beam shining from his face.
This is the 10th day.
It isn't good enough.
If it satisfies the council, it will hang in the town hall. I will bring you the 350 guilders.
Oh. Give me another week.
Ferdinand Boll brought his canvas last week. The contract must be respected.
So must the painting. This isn't ready. Look at it, Van Kampen.
I've already told you, Rembrandt. It looks good enough to me.
It needs some inner light.
And it's good as it is.
Van Kampen, try to understand me. There was once a Greek sculptor named Phidias. Once a man scolded him because he was working on the back of a statue. Who sees the back? Van Kampen, the gods see the back of this canvas. I've got to satisfy the god in me. I want money. I need it. But you commissioned Moses, and all I've painted is Abram. Tell the council I'm sorry.
They hung a painting by Ferdinand Boll in the town hall of Amsterdam. Meiner van Kampen took a few guilders from the wallet he had this time remembered to bring and gave them to Rembrandt van Rijn.
It isn't charity. Call it a down payment on the portrait you will make of me. If you'd like, I can sit for you now.
I've treated you like a fool, haven't I?
Oh, you're a great man, Rembrandt. I'm only a merchant.
There's a quality in your face, Van Kampen. It's always been there, I just didn't see. If you let me, I'll paint that quality. But not now. I've got to find what's unique in the face of Abram of Lublin. Then I'll have my Moses.
All art is obsession. It comes forth like a secretion from 1,000 wounds. And this is what the painter etches into copper and spreads over canvas. And until the canvas dries and the work is finally halted, the soul of the artist is morbid with self-hatred. For he knows that the work is only put aside, that it can never be done, that the best he can attain is a truce, but never victory. In the third week in April, 1659, the painter Rembrandt van Rijn, seeking a truce with inner light, went once more along the canal of a street in Amsterdam. The night was dark. Streets were dimly lit, but his feet carried him straight to the dwelling of Abram of Lublin. Within the dwelling, there were Abram of Lublin, his wife, his son, his kinfolk, and something beyond. The first evening of the celebration of the Exodus out of Egypt, the moment of origin of the people of Israel, the origin in revolt and flight, and discovery of uniqueness, the uniqueness that belongs to all.
Oh, toad ocean, fellow canoe mellet alone.
Rembrandt listened in the darkness. Then he heard the voice of Abram the bread seller.
This is the unleavened bread of affliction which our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. Let those who are hungry enter and eat with us. Let those who are forlorn come and celebrate the Passover with us.
Baruch Abba! Blessed be he who comes. Rembrandt Van Rijn, I make you welcome. I'm glad you came.
I am Abram's wife. This is my family, and these are friends and neighbors. Will you sit down?
I don't belong here.
You belong, Mynheer Rembrandt. Is someone with you?
No, I'm alone.
All people who are alone belong with us on the Seder night of the Passover.
Please, sit down. We are beginning the Seder. I will explain it to you as we go along.
No, please, don't explain. Just forget that I'm here.
Rembrandt, I must explain. What is this Passover Seder? It is only a lesson. From the beginning to end, a lesson for children. See, we begin now with a child's question, with four questions. Why is this night different from other nights in the year?
Manishtana halalo hazeh mikol halelos shebechol halelos onu ochlin chametz umatzo halalo hazeh kulo umatzo.
It was not the child of Abram who sang. It was not Abram himself. It was not his wife or his kin. It was the total of these things, the sum of all Israel, its history, its faith, its future. Rembrandt Van Rijn shivered and was cold. For Abram of Lublin sat against a pillow, and no more was he the seller of bread. The face was serene, but the expression was no longer patient and impassive.
Avodim hoyinu lefaro bemitzroyim. Slaves of Pharaoh were we in Egypt, and the Lord our God brought us forth with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm.
Rembrandt Van Rijn.
Yes, Abram.
Even you were brought forth from Egypt by the Lord our God. Every man in all times must come forth out of his own Egypt.
I know.
Rembrandt, the words are written in Hebrew and in your own language. Will you read?
Here is the place, Rembrandt. Read from here.
And if the Holy One, blessed be his name, had not brought our fathers forth from Egypt, then surely we and our children and our children's children would yet be enslaved to Pharaoh. Therefore, even if all of us were rich in wisdom and entire of understanding, nevertheless would it be necessary for us to repeat once more the story of the Exodus out of Egypt. And he who delights to dwell upon the liberation, he is a man to be praised.
Avadim hayinu, ata b'nei chorin, b'nei chorin. Avadim hayinu, ata b'nei chorin, avadim atayinu.
This was the Passover of Rembrandt Van Rijn. For his heart regarded the melodies that were sung, and his eyes looked upon Abram, whom he saw for the first time.
Abram of Lublin, the inner light that is within you is the light of this festival. The unleavened bread upon this dish, the memory of your fathers, the knowledge of what you have been.
It is the same with you, Rembrandt, and with all people. That is why I read to you the first time we met, that the true knowledge of God begins with the love of man.
Abram, why do you dip your finger in the wine?
My wife will tell you.
Because the Lord visited 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. And so, as we recite the plagues, we dip our fingers 10 times in wine.
Yes, but why?
Because they were smitten by plagues. And the Talmud says that they were also men and women. And their blood was as red as ours.
But they were your persecutors. They killed your male children.
Yes, Rembrandt. They killed. And in turn, they were smitten by God. But it is set down in the Talmud that when the Egyptians perished in the Red Sea, and the angels rejoiced and began their hallelujah, the Lord rebuked them and said, "Creatures of mine are perishing in the sea. How can you sing a song?"
The Seder went on, and they sang a psalm of David, and Rembrandt read the words of the psalm.
Bet Yaakov me'am lo'ez
ha'yetah. When Israel came forth out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. The Jordan turned backward. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like young sheep. What aileth thee, O thou sea, that thou fleest? Thou Jordan, that thou turnest backward? Ye mountains, that ye skip like rams, ye hills like young sheep. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters.
Adirhu, adirhu, yivne veisor bekarov, bimheiro, bimheiro.
He had sat with them, and they had related the bondage not only of Israel, but of all who live, the bondage to the darkness that lies within. And even as bondage is the beginning of all liberation, so also is darkness the beginning of all light. Even the light, the inner light that came from Abram the immigrant from Lublin. And Rembrandt van Rijn held the light carefully within the sockets of his eyes and the reservoir of his brain. And holding it thus, he returned to the mean, squalid room where he lived. And he placed the light upon the face of Abram. And behold, the tablet of the law said, "Thou shalt." And the face became the face of Moses.
Jacob. Jacob van Kampen.
Yes, Rembrandt.
I have finished my exodus for now.
Your exodus?
I have made as much peace with myself as I am able. And now, if you wish, I shall paint your portrait.
I will give you the money for it now. But, Rembrandt, I warn you, I am not this bread seller of yours. There isn't any light that comes from me.
You're wrong. Every man shines forth his own light. The thing is to know wherein in every man you must look. And when you find it, the thing is to know that you have found it.
But, Rembrandt, it isn't your Moses that hangs in the town hall of Amsterdam.
It doesn't matter. What matters, Van Kampen, is that I have polished the back of my statue and satisfied my God.
I'm not a quick man. I don't understand.
Mynheer, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Just raise your face up so that it holds the light.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting the Honorable Edgar J. Nathan, Justice of the Supreme Court of the State of New York and Chairman of the Eternal Light Committee of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Judge Nathan.
I am glad of this opportunity to express the appreciation of the seminary and of the vast listening audience of the Eternal Light to the National Broadcasting Company for making this program possible and meaningful. In the 500 scripts representing these 13 years of broadcasting, the Jewish Theological Seminary of America has attempted to fulfill the opportunity given it by the National Broadcasting Company. Through this program, it has sought to translate the ideals and precepts of Judaism in a series of specific dramatizations designed to be understood and appreciated by Americans of all faiths. To tell them the stories of men and women who save their fellow man, their community, and the nation has been the central objective. Emphasis has been placed on nobility of character and religious import. We have tried to do what Rembrandt thought to do in his portrait of Moses, bring out the light of the soul, the spark of God in man. Spiritual values are more appreciated and understood today than in the recent past, and there is recognized a return to worship of God in church and synagogue. The example of leaders in the nation has contributed largely to this, and I may say with confidence that a measure of credit is also due to the sponsors of this program, the National Broadcasting Company, and the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. We are, of course, gratified by the warmth of appreciation that has come to us from all parts of the United States and from all corners of the globe, from members of our armed forces, from the youngster and the adult. It is with great pleasure that I now present Mr. Davidson Taylor, Vice President in charge of Public Affairs Program of the National Broadcasting Company.
Judge Nathan, today with the completion of 500 broadcasts, a milestone is reached in the 13-year history of the Eternal Light. And I regard it also as a milestone in the history of religious broadcasting. On behalf of the National Broadcasting Company, I should like to express to you and to the faculty and board of directors of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America our warmest congratulations. Week after week, these programs have been dedicated to the fundamental truth that men are united in the fatherhood of God. The universal appeal of these programs, ethical and moral problems, as well as religious lessons of hope and faith, have won distinction and brought inspiration to the entire American community. The fine character, the high purpose for which this program was created, have been steadily upheld throughout these 500 programs. This should be a special source of pride to you. The prayerful leadership of the seminary faculty and the profound interpretations of their ideals by writers of the many and varied scripts have left a mark on the spiritual life of our nation. It is a privilege to join you, Judge Nathan, in this ceremony which inaugurates the 501st script of the Eternal Light.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor and Judge Nathan. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Passover of Rembrandt van Rijn, was written by Morten Wischengrad. Cantor David Putterman and Hannah Amsterdam Kliekveld sang the traditional music. Featured in the cast were Leon Janney, Ronald Long, Guy Rapp, and Beatrice Pons. The narrator was Norman Rose. The music was composed by Morris Momorski and conducted by Roy Shield. This is Mel Brandt. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.